disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there. I got a runny nose today. Hey, Jared, get 2 Timothy chapter 2 ready for me here this morning. Man, I got a runny nose, and I haven't had not one Corona beer, so I don't know exactly what's going on here. Welcome. It's the 10th day of March 2020. Who thought we'd ever see that? And crazy times to be alive, crazy world going on. A lot of stuff I want to share with you today, but I've really been impressed by the Lord to start out in the scriptures this morning, and so as you guys heard, I just asked Jared to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because we like to start in the middle of 2 Timothy. I don't know how long this is going to take. Bear with me here a second, all right? We like to camp on a certain area of 2 Timothy, which is chapter 3, which begins like this. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, without natural affection, having a form of godliness and denying the power from thereof. From such men, turn away. We love to go there. That is a horrible place to begin, in the middle of a scripture. Actually, it's a letter. When somebody writes you a letter, do you start right in the middle, or do you start at the beginning? And I think for too long, we've taken Timothy's epistle, and we've started in the middle. And we've camped on what he says in the middle, when in fact he is building a case all the way through it, all the way through it. I want to frame it like this real quick, and then I'm going to try to zoom in on what I'm talking about here. Okay, folks, listen. We've got to quit projecting in our mind everything we see going on around us and say, "Yep, it's what there it is." Timothy's talking about this. No, also in the last day, those perilous times are here. Understand that Timothy, in the first century Christians, they thought. They thought Jesus was coming back at any time. So we have to, again, keep the Bible in context and time context and when it was written. And I believe that 2 Timothy, if you read it properly with the right glasses on, and I'm not saying I'm the guy that understands everything, but I would say this, if you read it with the right glasses on, he's talking about the condition of the heart of men. He's not talking about the last days. And even though we make 2 Timothy about, know this also, in the last days, perilous times shall come, we ignore the setting or the relevance or the time frame in which Timothy's writing it. So I wanted to start right now, Jared, in chapter 2. I would like to read the whole thing, but really I don't have a whole lot of time. Let's go to chapter 9, Jared. Pull that up there real quick, folks. And if you're not in 2 Timothy, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, which it's crazy if you're studying this show and get the Bible, I can't believe you wouldn't be making notes in your Bibles when we read stuff. Verse 9 of 2 Timothy, I'm going to try to do this quickly, okay? Look, I'm not a theologian. All right. I can read and I can think. I may not be able to do hermeneutics and may not be able to translate it into Greek for you. And I may not be able to do that, but I don't think the Bible was written to be hard to understand. I just don't think it was. It says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein, watch this, watch the connection. And because of that, I suffer trouble. You see that? Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble. Why? As an evildoer, even into bonds. But the word of God's not bound. So he says, I start telling the truth about the gospel and it gets me in trouble. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He said, I put up with all of it because I'm trying to advance the kingdom, help people come to the eternal glory of God. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, when we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And if we deny him, he's going to deny us. And if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Boy, that's a powerful scripture right there. The problem is always us, never God. Ever, ever, ever God. Problem is always us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And of these things, then remember this, boys and girls, he says, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. He said, what? I speak these things that I'm going to overcome those who don't believe. It's to the subverting of the hearers. So he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I heard something this weekend behind my back, of course. People think, that guy's lost his mind. That guy's crazy. That guy's just constantly looking for trouble. That guy's a headlines grabber. That guy's a media hawk. All that stuff, right? Huh? Listen, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the ears. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. I can't believe that power's out. Rightly dividing the word of God. Michelle, I need my cord. Rightly dividing the word of God. Study to show yourself. But shun profane and vain babblings. Stop arguing about things that don't matter. Quit babbling about things that don't matter. I want you to watch this now, because he's talking about the nature of men and this battle in for the kingdom. This is not an end day, last day's message, okay? And their word will eat as doth a canker. Whose word will? The profane babblers. Their word's going to eat away at you like a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? I don't know all about those guys. I'm not a hermeneutics guy, whatever that means. Who concerning the truth have erred. So these guys have been teaching you. They've been wrong, Paul says, saying that the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some. Talking about misguided ministers teaching you things that are not true. But nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having the seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Thank you, sweetheart. Depart from iniquity. Who? Everyone that nameth the name of Christ, all right? If you name the name of Christ, stop sinning. I got to plug this in. Hang on. Nevertheless, where am I? Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. And if a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So to get rid of those worldly things, those worldly desires, those worldly concerns, the approval of man, get away from those, and you'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and then ready for the master to use you. And prepared what? For every good work. But you're going to have to cut loose from some things that are holding you. Flee also youthful lusts. See, there's some lusts that you have that maybe you could get away with earlier. I'm 67 years old. I can't be doing the things I was doing 30 years ago. Man, oh man. I got to throw this in as a tidbit. Been doing some study this morning. Folks, hear me. I'm not a financial guy, all right? Liquidate the best that you can and put the money that you have into tangible things. Gold, silver, land, whatever it is. I'm giving you fair warning. If a man therefore purge himself of this, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Oh, Lord, I could write on that one. The things we argue about in the faith, right? Knowing that they do gender strifes, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness. Watch this. Instructing those that oppose themselves. Are you opposing yourself? Are you doing things that are stopping the advancement of the kingdom in you? Are you fighting against yourself? Doing what? Having unlearned questions, avoiding them, and gendered strifes? And are you doing that? Now watch this. and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. The devil has taken you captive at his will. He's just fooling with you. He's just playing with y'all. Now watch. This is not a new, folks, this is not a new chapter. Next one, Jared. Next chapter. It's not a new chapter. It's a continued thought. He doesn't all of a sudden switch to end-day prophecy. He said this, know also that in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Why are perilous? Don't miss this. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, without unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false, accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of from such turn away. Folks, listen! Those things that he just quoted are not signs of the end times. Go back up, Jared, to number one. Those are not signs of the end times. Those are showing you the nature of man. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Why are perilous times going to come? Because men are lovers of their own selves and covetous. These are not end time signs. This is the open rebellion of the heart of man. That's what Paul's showing us here. Open rebellion. Know this also, in the last days, perilous times are coming, because here's what men are like in their hearts. And their hearts are going to be exposed. Scroll on down, Jared, wherever we were. Oh, this is also, I wish I could go on. Jared, go to the next chapter real quick. Real quickly. Then I'm going to be done. And then he says this. I charge you, therefore. You can go read the rest of it yourself. He says, because this is the nature of men, perilous times are coming. Listen. Men are not lovers of their own selves and proud and blaspheming and disobedient to parents, because it's the end times. It says that men's nature is like that. That is the nature of man. We have to restrain that natural urge of a man. He says, the only way you're going to do this, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, dudes. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Hang on. Does anybody see love there? Friendship evangelism. See that anywhere?
Absolutely
not. Preach the word. Love your neighbor. Do good to those. No, doesn't say that, does it? No. Because see, he said, listen, if you're going to survive in this time when we're dealing against men who are lovers of their own selves and proud, disobedient to parents and without natural affection and have a form of godliness. And he said, listen, you got to preach the word, brother. You got to be in season and out of season. Baby, you got to reprove and rebuke and exert with all long suffering and doctrine. Why? Because these crazy guys we just read about will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They go look for pastors who make them feel good. They're going to turn away their ears from the truth. They're going to be turned to fables. But you better be careful, he said. You better be careful. Because if you're doing your job, you're going to have to endure afflictions. You're going to do the work of an evangelist. And when you do that, that's going to make full proof of your ministry. If you are in the midst of the battle, you're making full proof of your ministry. Because watch this. Paul said, I ran down that road, verse 6. I'm ready to be offered. I've run my course. Huh? And the time of my departure is at hand. Why? Baby, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Is that you? Is that us? Modern America? Is that the message preached today in the American church? And by the way, let me continue, because I think this is important. Paul said, because I did all that, there's a crown of righteousness which is laid up for me from the righteous judge, and he's going to give it to me on that day, not only to me, but everybody else who does likewise and loves his appearing. But watch this. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Watch. Because some of the guys in the queue have forsaken me. Demas, he went one way, and he loved his present world, and he's departed into Thessalonica. And Crescens, he went and did his own thing in Galatia. And Titus, he's over in Dalmatia, raising Dalmatian dogs, I guess. He says, only Luke's with me. Luke. Just Luke. the right-brained theologian taking notes, the doctor, he's still with me. He said, do me a favor, go get Mark, bring him with you, because he's really profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus, well, he went to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas and Carpus, do me a favor, when you come, will you bring me a coat? I'm freezing. Will you bring me a coat? Oh, and the books. Oh, but especially those notes I took in those parchments. And he says, you know what? Alexander the coppersmith, he was a real bum to me. Didn't mean much evil. Go get him, Lord. Go get him, Lord. Lord, reward him according to his works. Of whom you better be aware also, baby. For he hath greatly fought against what we're trying to do. I could go on. You can go on. You can go on. Folks, we are in the heart of unbelievable times. I want you to know this. I'm telling you this as a brother in the Lord. Financial upheaval is coming like we have never seen. We've never seen. Whether the coronavirus kicks it off or not, it was and is inevitable. Everyone's operating off of debt. Nothing is worth anything anymore. It would be nothing. The stock market went down 2,000 points yesterday. Most of you, if you have any retirement or anything like that, it's invested in the stock market. When the stock market goes down, your retirement suffers. And what would happen if it went down 50%? What would happen to your nest egg? We know what would happen, don't we? So I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you to have some sense and understand that there's a reset of some kind coming. There's a reset. And take it to the Lord and figure out what it is that the Lord would have you to do. Okay, listen, I'm going to switch gears real quickly. I just put this on my calendar just now today. Just today. April 2, 3, and 4, I think it is. I'm looking at my phone, make sure I got the right date. I'm just scheduling a little gathering here at Sky High. April, there's a calendar, there it is. Sorry, guys. Yes, April 3, Friday, and 4. And I'm going to have a little work crew, a little cleanup, a little bit of fun and fellowship at Sky High. If you want to come and be part of it and get your hands dirty. And if you just want to come and have fellowship, I spoke to Mike Blake. I texted him. Mike will open up his place for some of you to be able to stay. Some of you can bring sleeping bags, whatever. Just have a good old gathering. We'll do some cleanup, burn some. Got a lot of trees stuff. Brush needs to be burnt. A lot of stuff needs to be cleaned up. And I could use some help. And we could have some great fellowship. So that's the 3rd, 4th, and then out on the 5th of April if you want to come and do that. All right? Love to have you. Love to have you. And you guys will be blessed. And I'll put you on a lawnmower, do whatever, and we'll have us a good old time.
Coach?
Yes?
I'll be up on the 3rd and coming back late on the 4th. So I won't be able to stay the 5th. But
okay, great, man. Great, Mark. Yep. Love to have you. And it's... place is looking, it's unbelievable what's going on up there. And so now, that, you know, I don't know what it is where you guys are. It's warming up, grass is growing and other things like that. So it won't be hard work, but it would be just, you know, work that a few more hands would really help with. And we'd have some good fellowship. So
yeah, I got two coming with me, maybe three. Okay.
All right. Hey folks, if you want to come, just let me know so we can make, you know, food arrangements and all that kind of stuff. And it'd just be good to spend some time together with all of you and sweat a little bit and get some clean up there. Cool. Anybody else? God, 7:18. I went quite a while there. I'm serious about cashing in what you can cash in. Cash in what you can cash in. Something that's going to hold some value. Because I really, you know, we're really, we can argue all day about this coronavirus and where it came from. But there can be no doubt that it's going to cause great financial stress in our economy, which I think is a good thing. Because we all know at some point this system has to reset. We can't continue to go on like this. Printing money. I was watching Gary Pierce sent me a video that I watched this morning. They folks, they cannot raise interest rates anymore, and they can't lower interest. That's how they've maintained our economy, raising and lowering interest rates. They can't do it. They can't go either way with it anymore. And some banks are probably going to fail, and we are in for a tough financial time. But we're going to come out on the other side of it. It's going to be good. Like I said yesterday, let's be excited about getting rid of this crazy system we have for the sake of our children and grandchildren. Let's have a positive view towards it. Yeah, Mark?
I just got a 30-year fixed mortgage offer, and these things are real. We've done them. 2.5% interest for a 30-year mortgage. 2.5%.
Unbelievable. As many of you out there, probably can't I would say. Yes.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I would like to ask everybody that's listening and in the queue and everything, help me get that video the Lord had me put together. Help me get it going around, because we've got to start collecting some kind of unified effort so we have a plan in place when the disaster comes and we start coming out of the other side. If we don't have a plan in place, I guarantee you Satan's going to have one.
Well, we know this, Larry. We talked a little bit about it before in the pre-show. You can't get people to do anything. They won't do, I don't know what it is. They won't do anything.
The people in this queue can, right?
Right. The point I'm making is that we have to. If we're not going to do it, who's going to do it? I mean, I don't know. Excuse me.
It's been reported that the president is considering a payroll tax cut as one of the remedies in the short term. Can you say the word helicopter money?
Well, that's where we're heading, because they don't know what else to be able to do, right? And whether or not this has been orchestrated, this is where it's going to hit. This is going to hit hard, man. Now, is Bernie Sanders and his free money thing, is that going to be the solution? I would hope people are smart enough to understand. Well, you know this, don't you? The average person doesn't have any idea what's going on. They don't have any idea. So they'll believe anything.
Where it started, who's orchestrating it is, if it's being orchestrated from a central plan or something somewhere, makes absolutely no difference at all at this point. What makes a difference at this point is we are where we're at.
We're in it, man. We're in the middle of it, and it's here for sure. And it's like Mark said, 30-year mortgage at 2.7%. Are you kidding me?
All right, one thing to just look at is we got this coronavirus. Before we heard about it, think about how many other topics that were up on top of our stack.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's layers and layers and layers. So we're on this topic now. We're on the economy now. What Satan's doing? It's layers of this stuff. So what's coming? What kind of virus? What kind of new impact is going to be there next week? We only have the blood of Christ.
Amen. So listen to this, folks. I made a note right here. God's laws are protective. I was listening this morning to Mike Heath's show, and Rob Pugh was on talking about the expo coming up this week, and a lot of different issues. And see, we somehow, some way, we have got to get away from folks. We got to get away from lawlessness. We're in lawlessness in America, and we're in lawlessness because we have, for the most part, ignored just six of the commandments. Now, I'm not talking about the first three, honor the Lord your God, and another God before me, and don't make a graven image. And the next, don't lie, don't steal, don't covet, don't commit adultery. Those laws, folks, are all protections, every one of them. God said not to have adultery, not because he didn't want you to have any sexual fun. It was protective. Think of the destructive nature of adultery alone. Think of the lies in America, people that you know whose lives and families have been destroyed through adultery. I mean, just think about it, right? Think about it. The number one place where people fall into adultery is at work. And we took our women out of the home, we sent them to work and set them up for practice adultery, right? Well, what if we, as we used to have in the United States of America, adultery was a crime? It's a crime. You couldn't do it. Why? God's laws are protective. So what we see is the the shrugging off of all restraint. We call it my right, my body, my choice. The same thing that the serpent said, right? I will ascend to the most. I will be like God. I will. That's what we have. It's so good from my perspective. I don't have to get up every morning and secretly check my text messages to see if any of my girlfriends are texting me. Don't want my wife to see him. Got to sneak off someplace. That's not living. And the destructive nature of adultery in my life, our ministry, and our family, the destructive nature of it. So God said, hey, get married to that sweet little thing you have, that little Michelle. Stay faithful to her, and a lot of your problems are going to go away. And you know, it's been true. It has been true. And don't lie. All of that. And somehow we in the church have also begun to see those laws as restrictive. So therefore, you're gay? Oh, you want to have sex with a man? Well, Jesus loves everybody. Sure. Come on in. Even though the scriptures tells us to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't have anything to do with it. We invite it right into the church. See, it's a watering down of the gospel. We have a gospel in America today that would be unrecognizable to Timothy and Paul. It would be unrecognizable to them. Because the gospel that we have today, the gospel that we preach today, offends nobody. Jesus was known as the rock of offense. You read what Paul just said. I got the crap beat out of me, Paul said. My whole ministry's been getting the crap beat out of me. But he said, it's good because I got laid up for you now. I get to go to my reward. That idea is totally foreign in modern American Christianity. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Somebody tried to come in.
Amen, Coach. You know, that's exactly it. Just because you can do something doesn't always mean it's a good idea to do it. That's what people have forgotten.
Yeah, of course. So that's the point, man. That's the point that I'm trying to make here. All right. And so we have to return to those. Let me play this. This is kind of a little bit lighthearted here. Jared, play that church parody. Somebody sent this to me today. I'd seen it before, but I was just kind of thinking, boy, is that ever it? If you ask the average Christian, hang on there a second. Ask them. If they go to church, and if you find out they do, and you ask them why, I'm going to tell you this. Rarely is it because of the solid preaching and teaching of the word. That's rarely the reason they go there. Relationships, families there, friends are there, whatever. Rarely is it the hard preaching of the word, right? So this is a parody of our modern church services. And tell me that this isn't pretty much what we're dealing with. Go ahead there, Jared.
You can't stop it. It's coming to a town near you. It used to be called contemporary. Some call it relevant. We're so cool, we call it contemporvent.
Young, hip guy welcoming all with graphic tee and cool glasses. I welcome everybody with arms wide open, revealing my tattoo so you know I have a past. Quirky transition to band. Invite everyone to stand. Let's do it.
This is the song that everyone knows. It's the song that everyone knows. My new song that nobody knows. Nobody knows this song. I want you to learn this song and buy my record in the bookstore after the service.
I just want to invite the ushers up as we prepare for our offering. Feel free to give if you feel led. It's between you and God, but we're tracking it.
one man has all the answers.
I have all the answers. Showing a picture of a puppy and or a baby from an impoverished third world nation.
Speaking softly to draw you in.
And then emphatically, driving home my point.
On pause. Whispering. Repetition.
Still pausing. Pained expression. Long prayer so that the worship leader can get back on stage.
This is the closing song with strings that'll make you cry.
Coming soon to your town, a new kind of church. You will be lifted high and challenged to grow. We call that Grotivation. You call this Sunday morning.
Oh, it would be funny if it wasn't so sad, wouldn't it? It's all emotion driven. And as a result of that, as we were speaking about earlier, how do you motivate people in an environment like that to fight against anything? How do we do that, right? And I could pull my friend Rob Pugh in here right now and let Rob tell you some horror stories about what he has dealt with the Wisconsin Christian News, which is a fabulous paper. By the way, Rob, when we were in Dallas, people were talking about, several of them said to me, oh, I read you in the Wisconsin Christian News. So Rob, it's having an impact. But Rob, the truth of it is, pastors in Wisconsin won't even have the paper in the church. Isn't that right?
Yeah, they throw it in the trash, Coach. It doesn't get past the secretary.
We don't. So if you went there, Rob, and you dropped off 100 newspapers free at a church and said, give it to every one of the people in the church, they would not hand them out. Is that right, Rob?
Nope, they'd go right in the recycling bin.
Why,
we gave up on the churches 18 years ago, so.
Yeah.
We put them out in public places, grocery stores, restaurants, truck stops, and people can't get enough of them. They're looking for truth, but they're not finding it in the brick and mortar buildings that are called churches.
Folks, that's our challenge. I'm not bashing on churches. That's the challenge right there. I saw this again at Hear the Watchman, and we're going to see it at Rob's event coming up this weekend, actually. There will be information presented to, are you ready, Christians that they have never heard before. How can that be? How could you be a pastor in a church and not inform the people of what's going on in the culture and the society around us and our obligation to be salt and light? Can somebody explain to me how that can possibly be? How you can have the people leave your church no more informed about what's going on around them and not being able to connect the dots to understand the importance of standing up and pushing back and fighting now. I feel like I'm being redundant. I'm not trying to be redundant. I'm just asking, man.
Coach, can I just make a comment?
Sure.
You know, I go through the motions every year of inviting the churches, inviting the church youth group to our conference. And I also let them know that all of these speakers that we're having are available to speak at their church on Sunday morning. And you think we can get one of them? I sent out 300 emails, just, you know, went through the motions. I know we're never going to get anything, but out of the 300, I got two responses, and they were both, please take me off your mailing list. one of them said, and by the way, you're in violation of federal law because you don't have an unsubscribe button at the bottom of your email. Yeah, that's what we get.
Yeah. I wish I could figure out what makes those guys tick. I really do. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know why they don't understand. And so to see people now, what's the word, folks? Do you understand? Good, bad, real, fake, whatever. The power of the media with this coronavirus thing. It's on every. You open up the internet. It is coronavirus. 24 hours a day. What's everybody talking about? the coronavirus, what's happening in all the stores, the shelves are being emptied. Why? The power of the media. But yet, are we hearing sermons about the power of the media and how the media lies and how we're being manipulated by it? Are we hearing that from our pulpits? I don't think we are. Yeah, Dale.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about the people getting coronaviruses who go to them churches because they never come outside the four walls. They're quarantined.
Yeah, they're already quarantined. Well said. Well said. So, listen, I don't want to continue for people to tune in here and think I just bash on the church. That's not what I'm saying. But, folks, that's where we all meet. That's where Christians come together. And as Larry calls them, the satanic social clubs. That's where we come together. I just saw that there's a movement out there now in the social justice movement, the Southern Baptist Convention. They've fallen off the left edge, man. I don't know if they can be saved. I don't know. Do you know that many in the Southern Baptist Convention are now speaking that it's time to vote Democratic? It's time to vote for the Democrats. Now, you can vote for the Democrats if you want. Democrats hate God. They want to murder babies, even if they're born. They're for the promotion of homosex. Now, just on those three things alone, can somebody tell me how you could possibly, as a man of God, stand in your pulpit and encourage people to vote for those three things? Oh, I know why. Because they help the needy. They help the ones coming across the border. The compassion. See? Get it? You get it?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. So I was listening as I was getting ready to head out here, and I'm thinking, you know, we were just talking for the past week with different brothers and sisters about a specific congregation that I've spoken at three times. They have a congregation. This is the mentality and the shape of the congregation today. 250 people in this congregation. The first two times I went to speak there and was advertised I was coming, less than 50 people showed up. Then the third time I said, do me a favor, Pastor. Don't say that I'm coming. He didn't say that I was coming. And they all showed up. All of them. But let me tell you, the first two times with less than 50 people, the love offering was greater than it was with all 250 people. Hmm. And when I was talking to the pastor about it at lunch, he said, you know what happened, David? The 50 people that showed up felt bad and tried to take it upon themselves to give an offering for those who weren't there. When everybody was there, they thought everybody would give, and they didn't. He said, that's mm-hmm. what happened. But he was amazed to see his own congregation, a conservative congregation that goes to the abortion mills, that's basically, he was just amazed to see their stand on homosexuality.
Why is that, folks? What is with that?
That homosexuality,
hey, Coach. Mafia beast. Yeah, Jack.
Hey, Coach, we got to bring a little bit of balance to the political side here. And the Democrat platform is anti-God, pro-life, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual. The Republican platform is pro-life, pro-family, and wink, wink, it's okay if you participate in those. We won't say anything. But our platform says we're the good guys. But wink, wink, Collins is pro-death. Wink, wink. Collins is pro-homosexual, and wink, wink, we put a activist lesbian on the Trump campaign as Trump campaign leader in Maine. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink, we're the good guys.
Wink, wink, we're not the good guys, but we know better, don't we? We know. So
is it Proverbs 6 where it says, don't wink?
I don't know. Well, if it is Proverbs 6, I don't know. But again, the garbled message of righteousness It's not carrying the day for us, man. It's just not.
Thank you, Coach.
Yes, sir.
I was just told by a higher ranking official, and not really, but you know, someone in the United Methodist Church, that they're splitting over this decision, over mm-hmm. the open profession. So I was just thinking, you know, all these church councils who are funding their downlines are going to push they're going to push something. There's going to be a message go down. So.
Well, can somebody tell me, I don't know who it is. So can somebody tell me, please, really, can somebody give me the rationale for the acceptance of homosexuality in the church? What is the rationale? What is
it? Doesn't matter what they say the rationale is. Whether they believe is if they do the acceptance part, their numbers will grow. That's the bottom line of whether they're thinking. Mm-hmm. What they're saying about their rationale, it may be different, but their bottom line is this will increase our membership. And as far as Mark's comment goes, back in 1999, the United Methodist Church had a horrible infight over this very same issue, and the Sodomites and all that won, and the rest of the church, I think there was two churches across the entire United States that pulled out of the United Methodist Church and split. The rest of them, the pastor stayed, and the main reason for that was in the United Methodist Church, the church owned the property that the pastor lives in, or whatever they call that house or anything, but the church owns it. So these pastors, in order to leave that apostate belief that they are now connected to, they would have to give up literally their place to live, and they would have to go find a way to buy or rent a home to live in. And that's the sad truth of what happened in 1999.
There's a lot of
thanks for that.
A lot of truth to that, Larry. I know. So I don't want to keep stirring a stick to stir things up. You know, we have to figure out what the solution to that issue is. That's why I'm here. That's what I try to do. Come up with a solution. What are we gonna do about it? I go to the Hear the Watchman conference, and the room's full of 250 people who get it to a degree. They get it to a degree. But none of us seem to get it to the point of activity. What do I do? I see what's going on, but what do I do? Here's the problem. Where and how do I, meaning you, gather a crowd? How do I expand my influence? Where do I find like-minded people that I can gather with? Coach, I heard it over and over this last weekend. Coach, there's nobody in my town that gets it. There's nobody. Coach, is there anybody that you know of who lives in the Tulsa area? There's nobody in my area. Now, we know that there are people there, but that tends to be our greatest hindrance. How do we organize outside the organized church? How do we do it? I couldn't be more wide open for plans or options or whatever. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I don't know. But I know this. I really believe this. There are millions of us, folks. There are millions of us, but we're directionless. We're directionless in this battle. While we have focused on souls, by the way, if you go back and read what we just read, what Paul wrote to Timothy, Paul's focus wasn't on the souls. It wasn't on the souls. Paul's focus was on believers, on training and equipping and mobilizing believers. He wasn't worried about souls, because if you train, equip, and mobilize your group, souls will follow. But if we don't put the kingdom principles at the center of the whole thing, if that's not the grounding of the whole thing, then what disciples are we going to make anyway, right? And so I'm not floundering. That's not the right word. I'm doing the best I can here at 5 days a week to try to do what? To assemble the body together. That's what I'm trying to do. Yet I hear this morning in the pre-show from Keith out in Montana, is there anybody in Montana? He wants to know. Well, we got some email. Yeah, we got some emails of people in Montana. Are they willing to do anything? I don't know. I don't know. That's the problem that we have, folks. That's the problem. And how, so when we try to do these little things, when Chad holds an event down at his place, or Bobby Lee gets one going someplace, or Denny has one, we're trying to find a place for believers to assemble. And people get on me all the time because they say to me, "Coach, it's about souls." And I say, "No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's about truth. It's about building a kingdom. If you speak the truth and you build the kingdom, souls are going to follow. But if we have this idea that we have to go out and get people saved, which, again, most of the church does not do, doesn't have any idea how to do it. We talk about souls. Pastors talk about souls, but yet they never leave their church to go to the lost. They're always preaching to the converted or somewhat converted in the church. And the people in the church who are the saints equipped to do the work of the ministry are not equipped to do the work of the ministry. And so we turn to what we call parachurch ministries. Parachurch, whatever that means. Larry, I think the parachurch is the real church. That's what I think. The people that I run into, the Chad Esteses and the Bobby Lees and the Michael Blakes and the guys, that's the real church. That other thing, I don't even know what that is. But it's a gathering of people who in a given town won't even work together. They won't even work together. It has to grieve the Lord. It's like me calling a play and the left guard and the left tackle are supposed to double team and they won't do it. They just won't. They won't double team. Plays designed for you two guys to block that one guy, and you both want to do your own thing.
Hey, worst coach is some people walk off the field.
They walk off the field. That's right. Never run my way. How come you never run my way? How come you never run my play? So maybe you're feeling a little bit of my frustration because I just see it over and over and over. We should. God, we ought to be winning. We ought to be winning. Hang on just a second. Would you guys think at the most, they say, David Arthur, maybe you could correct me here. At the most, homosexuals, that homosexual movement, that alphabet soup movement, at the most is 5% at the most. How many Christians are there? There's a lot more than 5%. Even real ones, there's a lot more than 5%. Something not right. Go ahead. Was that Randy coming in?
Yeah, Coach, I wanted to read Luke 17, 20, and 21.
Pull that up, Jared. Luke 17, 20, and 21.
It's you're talking about the kingdom, Coach, and you're talking about truth. And I think this is exactly where we're at now. This is the picture of the church. This is what it should be.
And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "Hey, boys, the kingdom of God, you ain't going to see. Cometh not with observation." You're not going to see it, boys. "Neither shall they say, 'Look over there, or look over there.' Because the kingdom of God's within you." Boy, we don't have that one, do we, Randy?
Hey, Coach, another way to say it is within you is among you. It was Jesus. Mm-hmm. It was Christ, Coach. It's him. When he was transfigured, Peter, they see all this happening on the mountain, and Peter says, Lord, I want to build a temple for you and for Elijah and Moses. And the voice, the Shekinah glory, the Father, he comes down there and he goes, "Hey, Peter, no, I don't want a building. Hear him." Hear him.
That's Randy, the kingdom, Coach. Mike.
It's not buildings. The church is not buildings. We got to get this in our mind. It's
Mike drop moment there, Randy. You know, I never recognized it before. But when Peter said, "Hey, I want to build an altar. I want to do this thing here." It was because that was the culture that he was raised in. That's what you did. We've got to get rid of our culture that we were raised in. We have got to start following the simple word of God.
So first, let me throw this out there for you, okay? Because I know this, folks. I don't have it figured out, okay? I don't have this figured out. But I know this. The Bible says that his kingdom will come. In fact, Larry, that's the prayer, isn't it? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's his prayer, that his kingdom would come. And what if all this turmoil that we are in the midst of right now, let's say that we actually believe that we are in the last days, whatever that means, that the end of days is just around the corner. What if God is overturning tables and all of this worldly, fake Christian religious system we have? What if before he returns, he's flipping over tables again? The financial system is going to be destroyed, and all these lies and all these edifices and all these governmental institutions that were founded on lies, what if they're being torn down? What if what we see happening before us right now is the merciful hand of God? What if he is going to crush our financial prosperity to turn our hearts back to the Lord? What if what we are seeing is the most unbelievable move of God in a way that we never would have expected it to happen?
Can you say reset?
Reset. Reset. Kingdom reset. Folks, you do know this, don't you? For this world to ever cure itself, the financial system has to be reset. Now, how's that going to happen? Hey, do you understand? I just sat and marveled yesterday. You see what the price of gas was? Did you see what a barrel of oil did? Now, folks, we were built on what they call the petrodollar, right? When they took us off of the gold standard, why did they take us off the gold standard? So they could put us on the oil standard, the petrodollar. And then what happened yesterday? Saudi Arabia released a lot of their reserves out on the open market. They had a buy one, get one free sale on their oil yesterday. And it crashed the oil market. So as it crashes the oil market, what does that do to the petrodollar? See, the Lord is doing stuff. Hey, folks, this is stuff we've been praying for. We've been praying for this kind of stuff, for righteousness and justice. We've been praying for it. And the Lord is crushing this fake, false, ungodly, worldly system that we are in the midst of. And the opportunity for the kingdom of God to go forth from here on are going to be like we have never, ever seen. Businesses are going to fail. People are going to lose their jobs. People are going to lose their homes. I'm not cheering about it. But rich people rarely seek the Lord. Rarely. And it's this ungodly affluence that's preventing the heart of man to turn, returning to the heart of God. And these things, I believe, are being crushed right in front of us. Whether it's deliberate or not, something's happening here. That's
amen. That's amen. Listen, remember what happened to the Indians? The Indians got they got talking to chasing shiny baubles, and you see what happened to them.
Yep. That's right. And so, you know, we're clinging to dollars. I had the conversation with Michelle this morning because we took out some retirement money because – not retirement, whatever, some – whatever. And you know something, folks? In the last 3 months, it lost about 10%. Before we could get it out to put into Sky High. And before we could get it out, it lost 10%. You know, you could lose 25% in a day. You could lose 50% in a week of this ungodly, fake financial system in which we live. And then sit around and think, you got how many dollars in the bank? Oh, you got $100,000 in the bank? Well, God bless you. What are you going to do if they switch off of dollars? What are they going to do if they do a reset on us and reevaluate on you? You ain't going to have $100,000 anymore, are you? No, you sure not. Well, why are you trusting in those dollars in the bank? Why don't you put it in something tangible, something you can hold, food or gold or silver or property? We don't even know how to think anymore. We don't know. You'd rather have a paper dollar, 100 paper dollars, than $100 of something of that. You'd rather have 100 paper dollars than $100 in food?
What? Hey, Coach.
Christian, wake up and think here.
Hey, Coach. It's like a Rube Goldberg system. You ever see those
those machines where you put a marble in and then it rolls down a thing and then it has a crane that lifts it up. Okay, yep, so yep, this is the right. Federal Reserve trying to keep this machine going. That's and it's starting to fall apart.
And we can see it, can't we, Glenn? So, folks, you either see it or you don't see it. And so get out ahead of it.
Sorry, Coach. What are they going to do with that money if what happens in Cirrus, where they sit there and they turn around and give a haircut and turn around and only let you take out $300-$400 at a time?
Yeah, right.
And then did reverse interest rates, and then you start have to pay to have your money in that account.
Ryan, Gary Hapier sent me a great video I watched this morning. Said they cannot do anything with the interest rates. They're done. They can't raise them and they can't lower them. And that's been the way that they've been manipulating us for quite a while. So,
yeah. But what I'm saying is you have to pay them. They start taking money, interest, to have your money in the account.
They call that negative interest rates, where you have to pay them to keep your money. Boy, that's scary, isn't it? Robert, you about ready there on March 10th? March 10th?
Yep, I'm ready, Coach.
What a time to be alive, folks. What a time. Listen, let's get your head out of the defense mode and let's go on the offense. This is going to be one of the most incredible times in human history to advance the kingdom of God. As the kings of this world, as they're beginning to collapse all around us, the kingdom of God, the never-failing kingdom of God is going to continue to be advancing. How do we know this? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting King. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no happening right in front of us. March 10th. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I agree, Coach. This is a great time to be out there, be the salt and the light. People need truth, stability, hope, purpose. Here it is. How is it that one will quickly open a letter from his earthly employer and boss and yet leave closed the letter, the Bible, from his heavenly father and his Lord and master?
Wow, good question.
Be set free. That's what people need, be set free today. Believe the Lord's statement that he came to set captives free.
Thank you, Lord.
We're talking about freedom from media control, government control, all this, paranoia. We can be free from sinful bondage, emotional turmoil, mental madness, soulish depression, and fleshly struggles. Otherwise, you make the statement that God is not willing, his spirit is not capable, his scriptures are not adequate, his promises are not valid, his son's intercession is not effective, and his good news, gospel, kingdom gospel, is not really good after all. Don't live in fear over your past failures, but trust in God's future victories. Don't be paralyzed by your sense of inadequacy, but be energized by his divine adequacy. Amen. Hope in God's ability and commitment to work everything out for your good as you continue to love him and fulfill his purpose. After all, we serve an awesome God.
We do, Robert.
It's time to rise up.
I got up this morning, Michelle. I always get up a little bit before her. And I get up every morning and I thank her every morning for marrying me. So, man, I was lucky. I mean, I married you. I loved you because you just were pretty and you turned me on. Man, oh man, what a blessing you are to me. And I was thinking this morning as I was coming down to start the show, I was thinking if I got word tomorrow that my wife was sick, I would sell everything I have to keep her around. Everything I have. So right now, as I sit here today, the enemy can have everything I own. Everything I own, he can have. Because it's about relationships. It's about those things that you cannot purchase. If you're sitting around today and you're feeling a little bit frustrated, you better check what you're feeling frustrated about. If you're worried about dying from the coronavirus, I've already laid that one on the table. I ain't worried about that, right? If you're sitting around today and you're worried about your 401k or whatever that thing is, you got your priorities wrong, folks. You got them wrong. Because in the blink of an eye, your life can change in a way that you never, ever know. Some in trust in horses, some in trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of the Lord. And that's the position that we have to get ourselves to. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Why? For men are lovers of their own selves, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, without natural affection. We are in the midst of a perverse generation. And this is our great opportunity to stand up and shine and be counted among those who were willing to go all the way. Hey, April, have some of you come. Great weeks. Yeah, come on in.
Amen, Coach. That was fantastic. Okay. Absolutely.
If that's all it's about. That's all about. Hey, how much of my money do you want? Save my wife. Save my wife. How much do you? Oh, you want that? You can have it. Save my wife. Save my wife, right?
It's all crap.
None of it matters.
Our lives are important.
And what are they doing with the coronavirus? They're making us afraid to lose our stuff. April 3 and April 4, put on your calendar. Come and we'll have a great weekend. And yeah, you can help me out a little bit, but we'll have a great time of fellowship and eat some food and assemble ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.